than right here, right now.
Nowhere, because I get to say, Phil.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Seawack. Take it away, Rob.
Thank you, Philip.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Goldstein. All the kids can see.
I got...
They're bisexual.
They're burning. They're
Cassidy.
Don Geronimo is my co-man.
All right, I want to discuss that in the opening part of the show today.
Yes, very interesting.
I want to ask our audience a question about something that we ran into the ground yesterday. But first, let me get through the opening spiel.
Good.
Hello and thank you for listening. Coast to coast, nationwide, national show, you know that. Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara, Don and Mike show, carried on the Westwood One Network with 55 national affiliate stations.
55 today.
Yes, including flagship station... Flagship station, WJFK-FM in Washington, D.C.
Yes, and a flag over the map that I always salute before every show.
We have 5 million Arbitron-rated listeners, and we thank you for your support. Of course, we get no support from the top. That would be Big Al, your radio pal, Jeremy the Gerbil, Big Daddy Mel...
What?
Steve Goldstein. Steve Goldstein's name doesn't belong up there.
Just wanted to
and
know that.
Of course, Donald Monkey Boy E. From here he is, to my left and to your right. This man would go to Africa.
Yes,
oh, yes. But darn it, he just doesn't have the time.
Too busy.
Our friend Guy Birdley. Hello, Guy.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Hello, welcome to the show, everybody. It is January 21.
Right.
21. And our telephone number, toll-free, as always for you, is 1-877-365-3636. This Friday, GabFest will be jam-packed. We will talk about the NFL championship games with Howard Long.
Howard Long, a fine man.
From Fox NFL Sunday. Some people call him Howie Long.
Yeah, Howard's a joke that we could probably do with him while he's on the phone.
I wouldn't do that.
Not to his face.
Not in a million years. Not to his face. Plus, Rupert Martsky from USA Today on the show today. The many tragic moods and life swings of Mr. Charlie Stossel today.
Yes, the foot stomping goodness.
And a brand new low budget Jeopardy. All that, plus chances to win up to $10,000 with the secret celebrity laugh on today's show.
Absolutely.
First thing. Nobody farted today. We forgot to tape farts before the show.
Oh, and I forgot to eat tuna fish.
I eat chili.
Well, if you got one, Buzz,
if it comes up, I'll...
Have you been?
Not yet. Not yet.
Not all day?
I've even tried palpating my stomach. Nothing's happened.
You haven't had a BM yet?
Oh, yeah, earlier this morning. Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
I had a nice BM this morning.
So did I.
Right.
Watery as always.
Ah, very good. Ribbon-like as usual.
Rob, you have a nice BM?
No, actually not.
No? And Buzz, yours as usual, bloody and mucus?
No more orders than a hot biscuit.
Gotcha.
I have not had significant gas today at all because I didn't eat the food stuff that I should have if I had been prepared. I simply had a goat cheese omelet.
I also.
Oh, God.
And that doesn't make you fart?
No.
Oh, man.
If it does, not at all. And a link of sausage.
I forgot to go to Taco Bell. So. Monday, let's all make a mental note.
Yes.
To get our farts ready so we can have a brand new edition of Who Farted on Monday's episode.
Monday will be a good day to do it.
Also, Monday it's going to be the Pie in the Face show because either you or I will receive a pie in the face based on the Tennessee-Jacksonville game this weekend.
I hate it when we have these shows where I have to remember all this.
I love that. Well, that's why God invented Post-it notes. I got it all written down.
See, you're organized. I mean, you lay out the show and do that. I just,
right.
You know, I show up. I when I have to remember, so you know how bad I am at that. You know, I'll probably come in like wearing a suit or something. Not even knowing if I lose the bet.
I guarantee if you win, somehow you'll remember.
Yeah, but I won't
somehow
remember.
On Monday you'll remember.
I'm not concerned about remembering if I win. I'm concerned about remembering if I lose.
Well, we'll get a nice smock for whoever it is who loses and has to get the pie in the face.
Of course, I'm not. Who am I kidding? If I lose, I won't have to remember. I'll be reminded. I'll probably receive a phone call.
Yeah, just don't answer your phone about 4 o'clock on Sunday, and I will conversely not answer my phone if it rings about 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon.
That means I can go if it's a blowout at halftime. You know, either one of us can call each other. Hi, how you doing?
Oh, but that's a jinx, though. That's a super jinx, and you know that's worked against us. And we've had bets on games before. When one guy calls the other guy before the game is over, it always ends up that the other team wins.
What sucks is that we did the bet with Jim Nance. That's what sucks. Because, I mean, either way, we're in trouble.
We're not in trouble because with Jim Nance, we took Tennessee. We're going to win that bet with Jim Nance.
Yeah, but you see, if I win, you're not concerned. You win both ways. So you're excited because if you win,
you win the bet with me, and then you win the bet with Jim Nance.
All of my eggs are in the Tennessee basket.
Yeah, see, and unfortunately mine are not. So, I mean, I'll have the pleasure of the pie, but I'll know that we have to go.
No, but either way, you win.
Really?
See? Because you took Jacksonville.
Yeah, I know. I don't like either way I win. I like all or nothing bets. That's why, you know, when I'm rooting for the teams I root for, you know, that's why I like that.
Listen, I just want to say something. Yes. I know you.
Yes.
And I know you and money.
Mm-hmm.
And I know if it comes down to paying $250 to Jim Nance's charity.
Well, banana cream.
Or taking a pie in the face. Right, you'll take a pie in the face.
Oh,
just,
absolutely.
You know, root your brains out for Jacksonville on Sunday.
Okie dokie.
Also, I have an update for you about my home life. When I got home last night, my wife said to me, oh, you had a good bit yesterday on the show talking about the lift, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, honey, it was great.
Terrific.
You know, we went like for a half hour with it. And she said, seriously, try to write down a list of things that you know, we can do together.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually, no bull ass, wrote a list.
All right.
And I came up with 13 things. I couldn't come up with 25.
That's a good try.
Because it was a realistic list, and they weren't 13 things that I like to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because in reality, if there was a list of just things I like to do, there'd be like five things on the list. So they were things that I think the two of us could do together, now that our son is getting older and branching out on his own.
See, therein lies the deception of the exercise, because when you're writing out the list, any guy that's going to do that exercise, he's not going to write things down that he really, really likes. He's going to write things down that he thinks his wife
likes
to do.
Right, so I...
So it's just really for the wife.
I did it, and she didn't even write a list down. She just looked at my list.
Right.
And then we dissected my list, and listen, this is what the bitch about all of this is that early in the week, I said to her, since we know that Bart's going to be at a friend's house tomorrow night, tomorrow night we're going to go out, I said, why don't we just go to a nice restaurant? Why don't we go to a fancy restaurant, we'll get dressed up, we'll go have a nice dinner. She said, no, let's do something better than that. So we sat around the coffee table today, and we went back and forth, and finally we came up with what I thought was a great compromise, that we would go to see George Carlin tomorrow night at the Warner Theater.
Solid performer, never lets you down, pretty consistent.
Because generally I don't like going to see comics, but I do love George Carlin.
Mm-hmm.
She loves George Carlin. It's a chance to do something we don't normally do.
Right.
They're like, hey, look at this. Bingo. It worked out. Fantastic. I call up. You know what they say? Sold out.
Oh.
Only single tickets available.
Oh, so you'd have to sit far apart.
So after all of the exercise this week of the discussions and the list, we're doing what I suggested on Monday anyway.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going out to the nice restaurant tomorrow.
And there you go.
Right. So the whole week ended up, you know, 5 days of negotiating.
The whole exercise for naught.
Yeah, futile. So we're going out tomorrow night to the restaurant. So that's the update with the list.
You don't want to share the list with us? You don't want to share the 13 things?
She kept it.
Do you remember any of the things that were on there?
No.
You're embarrassed, aren't you?
Yeah. I'm very embarrassed.
Okay,
I was going to bring it in.
I won't push it.
When I got done with the list, I was going to go put it in my satchel, you know, the bag that I bring to work with me. And she said, what are you doing with that? And I said, I'm just going to file this away. And she said, no, I'll hold on to the list.
I'll hold on to it.
So she'll hold on to it. So I guess some weekend in the future,
right,
she's going to pull the list out and say, number 11. Let's do number 11.
You don't want to let the listening audience know that, you know, beneath this gruff exterior is the heart of a sensitive guy.
There were some pretty queer things on that list that I told her I would do.
We're all the same in that regard. I mean, you have to put those things on there, and I respect them.
I even put that I would go to a play, but no musicals.
That's good.
Because I hate musicals.
We drew a line.
I felt like Oklahoma, yuck.
When I wrote theater, go to the theater out there, I felt that same kind of pang.
Yeah, right.
A little stigma around that.
That's a compromise. So anyway, so I did that. That's over. Now, I got a phone call this morning, as a matter of fact. Right after I got off the phone with my wife, I got a phone call from my girlfriend, Janine Garofalo.
Oh, there you go.
And I have pinned Janine Garofalo down. She will call us here on this show either next Tuesday or next Wednesday.
Excellent. Yeah.
And she will discuss her spot on The Sopranos, which she told me today is nothing more than a brief 2-second cameo.
Is she a friend of the sisters? Is that who she plays, a friend of the sisters?
She plays an artist on the show.
Okay.
Whatever that means,
right.
She plays an artist.
All right.
So I had the conversation with her. It was a nice conversation.
It was a brief?
Less than 5 minutes.
And was there anything going on during that conversation?
It was, again, it was with a third party. With
right.
A guy from the improv who says, hey, guess who I've got on the phone again? Mm-hmm. Hey, how you doing? And I said, you know what, my buddies don't believe that I've talked to you all these times.
And she said, who doesn't believe that?
Well, I got the feeling the last time we
talked. That I didn't believe it?
Well, just, I had a general feeling that you said, I believe the quote that stuck in my mind was you said, bring her to us.
Have
her call the show.
That's I want that, but it wasn't because I didn't believe you. You were keeping her all to yourself.
So I said to her, listen, you know, you got to come on the show. And then she said, well, no, what I like is the fact that you've not asked me to be on this stupid radio show.
Oh, okay.
And then I said, well, too bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can't you just call up, say hello?
Right.
Say, this is Janine Garofalo. I'm going to be on The Sopranos. And then you can hang up.
Right.
So she finally agreed to that. And then Tuesday or Wednesday, she will call the show.
So you're in effect bringing her to us.
Yes. I'm going to bring you the head of Janine Garofalo.
No, I was giving you a hard time the last time because I felt as though you were keeping her all to yourself.
Right.
You were actually, just keeping these little pretty conversations, you know, you weren't thinking that she would be a wonderful guest to have on the show. You were thinking more of way back when of some sort of personal thing.
Well, I've never thought of porking her, but there is an exciting thought, though, of the fact that, you know,
she's a showbiz pal.
I'm a phone buddy of hers, but now I'm willing to blow that.
Good.
Just to get her here for a brief snippet on the show. So that's the latest with her. Now, we also have an update for you about our perspective paintball match against the sales department.
Oh, cool, 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 cool.
I had a chat with the wonderful Tammy Sachs today.
Yes.
And she said that there's a client of the radio station ready to buy a flight of commercials on the show.
Right.
This client owns a paintball ranch.
Oh, wow.
This client will supply us with top-of-the-line guns.
Good.
Top-of-the-line ammo.
Good.
Top-of-the-line helmets and camouflage.
That's great.
So, think about this. Couple of Saturdays down the road.
I love it.
On a Saturday morning.
I love it.
Us against them.
That's good.
Tape the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, play the highlights on the radio.
Right.
I had a conversation with General Tim McWilliams from the enemy today.
That's good.
And Tim's up for it.
Excellent.
The sales staff is up for it. Tim told me that he is so confident the sales staff will beat us in paintball.
Okay.
He likened it to America versus Vietnam.
Oh, did he?
With us being the Vietnamese.
Well, I got news for you, Tim. The Americans pulled out of that war and never won it. Ha-ha! Know your history, McWilliams. Your ass is mine.
Listen, if there's anybody in this building who's the Americans, it's us.
Yes.
And if there's anybody who's the Vietnamese, it's the salespeople.
That's right. But right. Tim is, you know, he's ignoring the facts there. I'm looking forward to this. I think we're going to, you know, we're going to handpick some quality. We'll get some quality people who'll be able to pull
this off. You know, we'll get Eric and we'll get Lurchie.
I think Broyhill would be a good, a good man for the job.
Sure. And I hope no one will be offended. I'm going to get Bart and some of his friends.
Right.
Because they're small.
Right.
They certainly are better at paintball than any of us are.
And I think really, in all seriousness, for a commander of the entire thing, I think we need Liddy. I think Liddy's got to command it. And Liddy's got to devise a game plan. Doesn't have to get out there in the trenches.
I'll ask him.
But if he wanted to come out and like be the field general.
Oh, imagine if we could dress him up like in some kind of a military uniform.
God, it would be great.
You know he's got a million military uniforms at home already.
It would be fantastic.
All right, I'll run that by G. Gordon Liddy.
I smell pay-per-view.
Okay. So just keep that in mind.
Good.
Everybody plays. With the exception of Buzz, who will be the team medic.
Yes.
Buzz is a pacifist.
And why is that?
Well, Buzz. Well, because frankly,
yes.
You know, you're Buzz.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a compliment.
You don't think I'd be good at this? Oh, Buzz, am I detecting a desire to put on the camouflage and grab the weaponry and go out and shoot the salespeople?
I don't think you'd regret it.
Really?
Really, Buzz? Really?
Listen to this.
Well, I didn't think you had it in you, Buzz.
Oh, yeah, I'd like to do this, and I think I'd be good at it.
Do you really?
Absolutely. He wants to
do it. Okay. Then you've got a frontline position.
Cool.
Congratulations. I urge you rent the movie Private Ryan over the weekend.
I'll bring my aggression.
Watch it a couple of times. Well, good, Buzz.
Yeah.
I didn't mean that as a put-down. I just meant that generally you're a very pacifist type guy.
Generally, I am.
But he's sick.
This is like BattleBots. Nobody really gets hurt.
Oh,
so,
no.
You know, let's go for it.
No, the paintball
things, but that's not real injury.
They leave bruises and welts.
They
really do.
I want to make sure that the weaponry is, for our side.
Top notch. We will get top of the line, John.
I mean, we have the, you know, I think especially if we're dealing with the client, you know, we have the power that way.
I think so.
Sure.
We'll get it. Don't worry.
Absolutely.
Beer gun's my jam. You got to understand what I'm saying.
Well, then it's basically, you go out to one of those ranches, it's, you know, it's a glorified version of Capture the Flag.
Is what that's exactly what the game is.
That's it. I think we got like maybe do a best out of five or something like that.
Mm. And there's, you know, strategy involved and stuff, so we can... We got to make all that happen.
Super psyched.
Feel good about it. We got to get some kind of side bet going on that also with the sales team.
Absolutely.
There has to be more than simply pride.
Yes.
And not a bet that involves money. A bet that involves something far more humiliating than losing a few hard-earned dollars.
Like all our bets. Humiliation bets.
Right.
That's the best way to do it.
Got to do it. So think about that a couple of Saturdays from now. Tammy's working out the details.
Excellent.
But that is a 100% guarantee we're doing that.
Good. Looking forward to it.
Okay. Now, the question I have for you, our listening audience.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, me and Mike started doing something on the air. Yeah, we've been off the air for a long time.
Right.
The whole Jack Cassidy thing.
We certainly did it a lot.
We ran it into the ground yesterday.
Yeah, we were obnoxious.
And I want to be honest with our listeners about this. We can go one of two ways with this, and this is a conscious decision that me and Mike will make.
Okay.
We can either continue with the Jack Cassidy thing.
Jack Cassidy.
And run it, you know, like we do everything.
Sure.
Run it in through the ground.
Right.
No telling how long that could go. That could go... A week?
Could go an hour.
It could go a month.
Right.
Yeah, we've had stupid stuff that's gone a long time.
Sure.
Or we could simply, at this point, say, we got it out of our system yesterday. Here's the question. Does anybody listening know who Jack Cassidy is?
Good question.
Do today's modern Don and Mike listeners know who Jack Cassidy is? And beyond that, do you have to know who Jack Cassidy is?
That's right. A good question, yes. And if you don't know who Jack Cassidy is, did some part of you find that slightly amusing?
I'm Jack Cassidy. I'm
Jack Cassidy.
I'm bisexual. Columbo. Come here, Columbo.
Oh, dear. I set myself on fire.
Peter Falk, come here. Talk in my ascot.
You'll see me on the NBC movie of the week.
I'm Jack Cassidy. I'm bisexual.
Now, we better not do this until we ask people what they...
Dennis Weaver, kiss me hard on the lips right now because I'm Jack Cassidy.
Look at my perfectly combed hair, my pressed suit, and my lovely Van Dyke beard. I'm Jack Cassidy.
I'm bisexual. I'm married to Shirley Jones. I father David and Sean. Yet I enjoy the company of men. Who will I go out with this evening? Lovely starlets or the Hollywood homosexual elite? I'm Jack Cassidy. Dinner tonight at the Magic Castle in Hollywood. Who will I be taking? Will it be Jim Neighbors? Or will it be the lovely Lola Falana? Doesn't matter because I'm Jack Cassidy.
Hello, this is Jack Cassidy. Join me for a burger at the Brown Derby. I'm Jack Cassidy.
And I'm Vice Bucksual.
Okay.
Ixnay on the Act J, Cassidy J.
Yes. It's just right. For a little feedback right now.
Okay, a lot of people are waiting to talk to us.
There we go.
Doug.
Yes, sir.
Yes, you're on the air, Doug.
Yeah, I remember Jack Cassidy. I'm the same age as you, Don. I watched all the same TV shows as you.
All right, that would be one vote for Jack Cassidy. You like the Jack Cassidy?
I like the Jack Cassidy bit. I think he was bisexual.
Okay,
should I keep the total of these?
I will.
Okay. All right, hello. Mark.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
I have no idea who he is, but if you keep it going, I'll have somebody to look for on all the reruns on, like, Nick at Night and stuff.
So would that be a yes or a no?
That's a yes.
Oh, somebody see that? Got that from a couple of people.
Thank you. Hello, Eric.
Hello, Don. Hello, Mike.
That's like I am doing Jack Cassidy.
Now you understand my attraction to Shirley Jones and her short, mannish haircut. Speaking both ways at once, whether I'm bisexual or I'm Jack Cassidy. I support you fully.
Right, that's 3-0.
Right,
pretty good.
That's 3-0.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
It's not funny.
There you go. We were waiting for that one.
Good.
All right, thank you.
Your opinion means nothing to me.
I'm Jack Cassidy. You haven't elaborated. Do you care to elaborate? Do you even know what the word elaborate means?
Perhaps you'd think differently if you came back with me to my Hollywood Hills home for a night of adult pleasure. I'm Jack Cassidy. My bisexual.
Adult pleasure.
Deal with it.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Of course I remember Jack Cassidy.
Okay,
what a wonder. I'm wearing a burgundy smoking jacket and smoking a cigar.
Hi. This is a girl, right?
That's right.
Oh, that's fantastic.
All right. Thank you.
Come
over to my place for cognac after dinner.
Hello, Don, in my show.
This is Jack Cassidy. I've just had a nice
BM. All right, it's unanimous.
Yeah.
We'll run it into the ground.
I should say the one dissenter was a little challenged as well.
We'll run it into the ground, much like I ran my man meat into Robbie McDowell. Jack Cassidy, my special damage.
Ah, wonderful here. Do you like my satin shorts? I'm Jack Cassidy. Ah, yes, sir. Let me get some wax for my eyebrows, Jack Cassidy.
Well done, my sir.
Yes, I'm Jack Cassidy, and I do want to play the paintball game in my devilish blue blazer and ascot beneath my BDUs. Imagine me flaming balls coming at you. They think, of course.
Okay, fine. But the question of the intelligence of our listeners.
We should not even have asked.
Right.
We shouldn't have asked. Mm-hmm. Once in a while, we get on a tangent, and I wonder, you know, because our audience is split.
Yes.
We have a very young demographic, and then we have, you know, people who are our age who listen to the show.
Split. Like buttock.
That's right, Jack Cassidy. Like the buttocks of many of my co-stars. Buster Keaton. Oh, Buster. It's me, Jack Cassidy.
Jack Cassidy.
I've just had Shirley. Now I'm ready for you, Tarzan.
Speaking of Shirley, I just went out the other evening with the background dancers for Shirley MacLaine. I'm Jack Cassidy.
It's my sexual.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, buddy.
Two butts up for Jack Cassidy.
Jack Cassidy.
All right, thank you. This polling is officially complete.
Very good.
I think we would have gotten the negative feedback immediately. Thank you. We will continue doing this until we run it into the ground.
I am pleased.
And you will know when we run it into the ground.
Sure.
Okay, Stu wants to talk about Regis. What about Regis?
Hey, did you guys see the show last night?
The Regis? I watched the beginning of it, but they had like three people lose in a row.
Four.
Was it really
four? With over $1,000 last night. And I can't figure out if the people were dumber or the questions were harder.
I thought the questions were pretty easy.
Yeah, so did I. And the guy had to ask the audience with that, the fat guy with the hat question.
Oh, this is the question on the Millionaire Show last night. Which of these hats does not have a brim?
Hmm?
A derby?
Mm-hmm.
A top hat? A baseball cap? A skull cap?
God, how stupid is that?
This guy had to ask the audience for help on that one.
He didn't know skull cap.
What? No.
He didn't know.
98% of the audience got skull cap.
Well, you know what that is. I applaud the 2% of the audience.
Right.
Who goof with the guy on the show.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Because whenever they do that, they have people in the audience who purposely give the guy the wrong answer. What I wish they would do is actually find those people, have those people stand up for a round of applause.
Right.
Let's see a show of hands for the people who said it's duck, duck, monkey instead of duck, duck, goose.
And, you know, I wonder if all those people that are lifelines have an arrangement with the contestant, you know, that they say, hey, if I help you and you win the big money, will you, you know, I would think that the nice
probably
thing to do would be to, you know, throw them a little taste.
This is Jack Cassidy. I want to tell you something. I had Joey Bishop and Regis Philbin.
Ah, Jack Cassidy.
I'm bisexual.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I want to vote on the Jack Cassidy thing. I have no idea why it's funny, but it's funny.
Thank you, Mike.
I like that. That's my favorite kind of answer.
The polls are closed, but thank you, sir. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I'm Jack Cassidy.
Hey, way to go, Dennis.
Oh, thank you, Mike.
Hey, very good.
Keep on going.
Well, now that you've given it your blessing, Dennis,
Dennis has weighed in on it.
Okay.
So, Dennis, we got some nice stuff when Mike returned those gifts you got us for Christmas.
I don't get my respect.
No, you don't, Dennis, but we love you. You know that, right?
But the thing is, do you like your presents now? That's the bottom line.
Yeah, I like my nose and ear hair trimmer very much.
Have you used it?
Every day, Mike.
Really? You like it?
Every day?
Oh, good. Okay.
And Mike, you got pizza knives, right?
Yeah, I got a beautiful set of knives. They're fake knives, and then I spent a little extra and got a knife and fork carving set.
Doug, I'm upset.
Really? Why, Dennis?
I got you a mega clock.
It was a little big, so I got another one just like it, only smaller, which I look at every day. It's on my desk. Dennis, do you want to say hi to the one guy who actually likes his gift?
I got a lot of in person.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. I used it the other day. It keeps the hot things hot and the cool things cool. Hey, Dennis.
Yes.
Would you consider wearing a nurse's uniform?
and being the official medic for our paintball game.
What the hell?
Excellent.
But I don't mean like a male nurse's uniform. I mean like...
Oh, you want the little boobs and all that.
No, you don't have to have the boobs, just a nurse's dress and that pointy nurse's hat.
And if it's cold, you can wear like one of those capes, like they wore in the Civil War.
I'm up for anything.
All right, then you're an official member of our paintball team.
Hey, Rob?
Yeah.
Well, hold on. Still with Robbie. Hold on.
Yeah, here he is.
Yes, Dennis.
You got my capes about Iowa, right?
Yeah, I have them. I haven't scoped them down for you yet, Dennis.
Okay.
It's been a busy week.
Okay.
But I'll have them done for you as soon as I can.
But thanks for taking care of that personal business, Dennis, on the airway.
Thank you. Goodbye, Dennis.
Okay. Hey, Tom.
Yeah. Have a pleasant evening.
Well, I do love you, Tom.
Oh, I love you more, Dennis.
Mike.
Yeah?
I want to go bowling with you.
All right.
Can we?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm a great tantrum bowler.
Are you really?
155 Alec.
I would like to have Dennis, if we do a bowling thing, because you're into bowling.
Yeah.
I'd like to have Dennis participate.
There's lots of things I think we should do. We should go bowling.
Right.
I mean, I don't think we should do all these things with Dennis and for Dennis.
Oh,
God. I think we should go bowling. I think we should definitely start the poker club back up.
Yeah, Dennis doesn't get into the poker club.
No, absolutely not.
I'm a great one-handed poker player.
Yeah, but Dennis, do you really bowl?
Yeah.
And you like it?
I love it.
All right, we'll let you bowl with us when we go bowling.
Okay.
All right, goodbye now.
Okay, and I wear the nurse's uniform, and I'm here for you, Don. I'm here.
Pardon me?
To wear the nurse's uniform, and he's here for you.
That's who I know. You know. I got nothing but love for you, Dennis.
Yeah. Oh, okay, thank you, Don.
Okay.
Okay, have a great weekend.
Goodbye. Yes, Don.
I'm still upset from you about you, but I'll see you later.
Sorry about that.
Bye.
Have a pleasant evening.
Huh?
I just said what you always say. Have a pleasant evening.
Oh, okay. Don, have a pleasant evening.
Thank you, Dennis.
Okay, bye.
That's one of those rare times when we called him. You know, he waited enough time to call. It's been a while since we chatted with him.
Hello, Don and my show.
Hey.
Hey.
What's happening, guys?
Hey, my friend.
How you guys doing today?
We're doing great, thank you.
Hey, check this out. I was reading our local newspaper around here in Sacramento.
Well, would that be that way?
Cool about you guys, how great you guys are.
Well, what is that, in the Sacramento Bee?
Yes, it is.
What does it say?
Well, I don't have it on me right now, but it was talking about how you guys just stomp the competition around here. No one else even compares to you guys in the ratings and all that.
You know, I believe this guy, but he's got a little of that sound in his voice that just says trouble to me. I hope he's telling the truth. I really do.
No, actually, I think that they just did get the ratings back in Sacramento.
Okay.
Yeah.
And our listeners rewarded us with maybe the best ratings in the last 3 years in Sacramento. Great.
Hey, I was at your Las Vegas-style show here a while back.
Okay. All right.
You guys rock, man. You guys are awesome.
Thank you, my friend.
Hey, can I tell you guys something? That dude answers the phone's an a-hole.
All right, thank you.
Well, hey, one more thing. Hello?
Yes.
Hey, I got a message from Joe, too.
Nope.
Joe Mama.
Nope, I'm not going to ask. Goodbye.
Hey, F you.
Thank you.
Okay, knew that was coming.
Okay, Mike. Thank you very much.
Okay.
All right, Crimson. I just had a feeling.
You got it.
Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I'm Jack Cassidy, and I do it at my own ass.
The nipple guy. Goodbye, nipple guy.
Bye, Don.
That's bad. You get the Joe Mama guy and the nipple guy back
side by side. Yeah, they're probably Chinese twins.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I guess that you hung up on me. You're not going to let me tell them the friends and neighbors thing on air, huh?
Who hung up on you? Are you trying to talk to our screener?
Yeah.
Was this a joke about neighbors up the ass?
Yeah.
Yeah, like we haven't heard it 1,000 times.
Oh.
That's why they hung up on you.
Well, I haven't heard it on the air yet. That's what I figured.
Now you got to listen more.
Damn.
I told that joke to the Major Healy from I Dream of Jeannie.
That's right.
You should have listened to that episode. Goodbye.
Have fun.
Always. Always. That's my motto.
Have fun. I don't know who I was talking to.
Hello, John and myself.
This is John Joseph Edward Cassidy. Don't call me Jack.
Is that his real name?
Maybe it is.
I bet somebody did some research on that.
I'm John Joseph Edward Kennedy.
Cassidy.
Edward Kennedy.
I wanted Jack Cassidy. Jack Cassidy wanted Jack Kennedy, I mean. Oh, I wanted to start the Jack Club.
But I had to settle for Peter Lawford.
I'm Jack Cassidy. I'm bisexual. I had Spiro Agnew. Oh, I did. I did. He was marvelous. I had McGovern. Muskie. I had them all.
Goldwater.
He said, my bad.
He has that name for a reason, you know.
And they
Goldwater.
And they don't call him Hoover for nothing.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, Don and myself.
I heard that Lewis was in jail. I was wondering if you might know anything about that.
Not a thing. Glad to hear it, though.
Okay. Thanks, Sue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You got weird there towards the end of these phone calls.
Sure did. One more hello, Don and Mike show. Last call.
Mr. Geronimo.
Right.
How you doing?
Great.
Hey, Jack. Right?
What?
If Jack, instead of with the A, was spelled with an O, what would it say?
What are you doing here?
Well, if you took the A out of Jack and put an O in, what would the word be?
You tell us.
Jock?
Yeah.
Minus the CK? Yo mama!
Oh, God.
Jesus Christ.
That's a hell of a long way to go.
Are there two Joe Mama guys out there now? I don't think that was the same Joe Mama.
I don't think so either. Sound like a different guy.
That is a disturbing trend on this show.
Oh, man.
We have to put a ban on all the Joe Mama idiots calling this show.
Have to send out the van out to their houses.
Jesus H. Christ. Okay. Thank you for the feedback.
I wouldn't tolerate that in my day.
Much appreciated. Why? Who are you?
Jack Cassidy.
There are the postcards and touchstones. We will give someone a shot to win up to $10,000. You know, it can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Laura Johnson won $10,000 just 2 days ago.
That's right.
Why not you? I'm Jack Cassidy.
Jack Cassidy, yes, sir. $10,000? I've got it right here in my breast pocket.
Call me right now. I'll take you the same way that I took Marty McCorn, or Kent McCorn, and Marty Milner from Adam's Ground.
Yes, sir. I certainly made their police light go off.
The new number was Adam 69. Because I'm Jack Cassidy. I'm bisexual.
I'm running through the list of all the like late 60s TV shows. I'm starting to run out of stuff now.
Very difficult. Unless you think real hard. I have to tell you about my rendezvous with Doug McClure.
That's the ring on the tennis court.
Love Jack Cassidy.
And, of course, oh, Dick Van Patten.
Was he great?
Fantastic.
He's bisexual, just like me. I'm Jack Cassidy.
Jack Cassidy.
Coach,
right there. I know there's some people listening. You think we've, well, officially already run this into the ground.
Mm-hmm. But, oh, no. We're nowhere near close yet.
No way.
No way. No way. 1-877-365-3636. Toll-free number. Be the 100th caller. Get a shot at 10 grand right now.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I believe 2 weeks from Saturday we're looking at.
This is looking wonderful. Mm-hmm. This is great. And Buzz, I'm afraid that renewal might be on the line. Who are you playing for?
Really? I'm playing for the good guy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Don't let him tempt you, Buzz.
The Americans, you know.
That's a big contract that might be going away.
Yeah,
the big guy already went up to New York, you know. Yeah. Otherwise, we'd be able to play against Phnom Penh.
You knew which side I was on when we made that.
You know what this is right now? What we're seeing? We're seeing a sign of the enemy's weakness.
Yes.
That the enemy is afraid that the weakest link in our chain, Buzz, is going to play for our team.
Yeah. I just thought that Buzz was nice.
Jim is trying to influence Buzz to get Buzz to drop out of the game by threatening him with one of Buzz's endorsement deals.
I tell you what kind of guy Buzz is. Buzz is the kind of guy that might actually investigate and research and practice, perhaps.
Yeah, you know what? He has surprised me today with his killer instincts.
Yeah.
Frankly, I thought he would be like one of the MASH unit guys.
So let's get this right. You got everybody else but the sales department? I mean, you got engineering, you got business office. I heard you talking to Gordon Liddy's people. What is this? I thought it was
Gordon's programming.
Gordon's programming, Tim. It's easy.
He's a disc jockey.
It's the sales department against the rest of the radio station. That's our prerogative.
You know, us against you.
We've got to be against sales.
Good guys against bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
And stop talking to Corporal Buzz Klinger.
You can have administration, too. You can have administration.
I don't need administration.
Yeah, you can have them.
I don't know. Miss Bobby would be kind of tough out there.
I think Miss Bobby would choose to play with us if we gave her the option.
I think she would.
I think you're right. We should also flip the coin to see which side gets which engineer.
That's interesting.
Because I think both engineers would be really useful in their ways.
I think they'd both be good. I really do. I think it's a toss-up between Tim and Dan. I think they'd both be good on the team.
There is Rockhead bringing you your water.
You can have him if you want.
You want Rockhead?
Oh, yeah. We'll take Mike. Absolutely.
Okay, good. I don't want him on my team. Right. Good.
Okay, hold on. We'll get our caller 100.
Go for it.
And then Tim will make everybody's weekend by serenading us, and I see he's brought in his Temptation CD.
I love it when he does Motown.
All right. The Motown. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, my caller 100.
Yes, you sure are. What is your name?
Brad Carey.
Brad Carey. Where are you calling from, Brad?
Greenville, South Carolina.
Brad, you are the 100th caller, and Brad, you have won the much-wanted Sopranos prize pack. That's with the shirt, the hat, the CD, the poster. Don't miss the Sopranos this Sunday, 9 Eastern, 8 Central, only on HBO.
Great.
Great. You will have the chance to play for $500.
$500 on the line for you, sir.
Would have been more. Would have been more if you would have given me more than just that 2 seconds of silence and then great.
Right.
Just a little surprised I actually got through.
Okay. Right. Well, you are playing a radio contest. We do ask that you just give us just a scotch of excitement. You'll play for $500. We'll play you the secret celebrity laugh right now. If you identify the celebrity correctly, you win $500. Please don't answer until Mike sings like
God.
Are you ready?
Yes.
We wish you
a speed. Caller, name this secret celebrity laugh.
There is the new secret celebrity laugh. And just say, if you would have reacted with a bit more delight, you could be playing for more than the pedestrian amount of $500.
Yes.
But still, $500 is $500 for $500.
That's right.
Who is that secret celebrity laughing?
Ron Howard.
Could you be more specific?
Ron Howard as an Opie.
No.
No. We're sorry.
But a good guess. Thank you. Every guess clue for you. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks.
You got to work on your skills if you're going to call radio contests, man.
Yeah, just be a little bit more responsive. That's all we need. Just to practice and call us about 3 months from now. See ya.
Yeah, I'll work on that.
All right, thank you. Hold on, please. Tim?
Yes?
No better way to get everybody's weekend going than is Tim singing. Yes, I have your Temptation CD here.
Can I always go back to Motown? That always gets it done.
All right, which would you like, Tim? My Girl?
Let's go with number one.
Number one? Oh, the way you do for things you
actually
do.
Actually, it's kind of a toss-up between number one and number seven, but number seven has a very small toss-up. You wouldn't be able to do anything with it.
Ain't too proud to beg?
Right.
I'll give you number one.
All right.
Number one.
Let me get a jingle here.
All right. And ladies and gentlemen, you're about to enjoy the song stylings of Mr. Tim McWilliams.
And Rob, when Tim came to you and said that he was ready to sing today, how did he approach you on this?
He said, if I'm not too forward, tell Donnie G I'm ready to sing.
Ready to sing. All right.
Happy Friday.
Now, you looked at, when I asked you, I said, are you getting cold feet? It looked like you did a little prima donna walk away from me there. Was that true? Did I misread that a little bit?
We just had a couple of Friday buys come down. I'm just trying to make sure it gets all done.
Okay.
You know how people ought to get things done on time.
He's just getting his business together.
Right? So you're committed. You're ready to go.
Oh, yeah. Let's get it going.
Okay, here we go.
Good afternoon, everybody. Come to you live from Vietnam. Here is Cold Feet Tim.
Hold on, I screwed that up. I'm going to start it again. Are you going to do it? Are you going to do it in the lower register? Are you going to go the...
Yeah, the smart.
Yeah. Do you need more water?
Yeah, I need more water.
Right. More volume on your headphones.
More volume.
It's a temperamental artist.
You have to smile so bright.
Can you
do it?
Yeah. Okay, here we go.
The Pride of Vietnam, everybody. Here is little Tim McWilliams on KFRC.
You gotta smile so bright. You know you could have been the candle. The way I'm holding so tight. You know you could have been the handle. The way you swept me off my feet. You know you could have been a broom. And you're yourself so sweet.
He's a sales guy here.
You know you could have been some perfume.
We get the choreography.
Well, you could have been anything that you wanted to. And I can dance the way you do the things you do. Oh, yeah. Oh, man. As you are.
As pretty as you are.
Yeah. You know, you could have been a flower. You could look for a minute. I got it. You know, you could have been an hour. The way you stole my heart, a little delay. You know, you could have been the truth. And then you're so smart. Yes, you are. You know, you could have been a school book. All right, Bunchy, here you go, baby. Well, you could have been. And I can tell the way you do the things you do.
Oh, yeah.
There we go.
Tim McWilliams, excellent job, Tim.
Tim McWilliams, Friday, get together. Mm-hmm. Gotta get back to work.
Hold on, take your CD.
Right.
Take your temptations.
Make sure when people are leaving this evening, they don't run over those dogs that have collected down in the parking lot.
That's always a good sign. Tim is a very fragile man.
Yes, he is.
I think it's good for everybody in the station to know that today, Tim was singing.
Mm-hmm. He's happy today.
Happy Tim.
Yeah, the one lie he said when he came in here is that every week's a good week. No, it isn't. We've seen Tim when it's not.
And then Sophie, his wife, unfortunately never has a good week. Poor Sophie McWilliams.
Oh, you're riding that roller coaster.
Tied up in the root cellar right now.
He's holding on to the mechanical bull.
Here is Tim McWilliams. He is one of the sales guys here. And frankly, I am surprised that Tim is in a great mood.
Yeah.
Because technically,
yeah,
he was passed up for a promotion.
Was he on? Was he in the running?
I think all of the salespeople here were in line for that gig. As you know, the evil Ken Stevens left,
right,
went to another radio station. Al Leinwand, Big Al, took his job as general manager, which means that there was a position open here at WJFK for the position of general sales manager.
That is correct.
And I know that all the salespeople
were wondering if they were going to hire from him within.
Yeah, they were pimping Alan for it. They were hanging around Alan's office. They were kissing his ass every day.
Yeah.
And Alan has brought back someone who regular listeners of this show will know as Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Steve Goldstein is coming back.
We had Alan in here, and I believe that name was mentioned because I got a little intelligence on that one.
And, yes, you did.
It turned out to be true.
Who did?
Hey, Don.
Hey.
Don, you want to do that with the client?
Yeah.
I'll be there, Don.
Frankenstein!
Yeah. Oh, I just couldn't see you. I can't move my neck.
How you doing, Steve? But I'll say this about this radio station. This has got to be the only station, really, that people leave and want to come back to.
Right? Very, very safe. We have people that have been here and left, come back, left again, and come back again.
Well, Andy Rice gets the record, but Andy Rice doesn't count.
You know, don't we have other salespeople, haven't we?
Yeah, almost all of them have left and come back.
It's weird.
A lot of the people who are back there now, some of them are on their second or third time at the station.
Amazing.
The thing that makes Andy Rice unique, Andy is the guy who works in the office. He's a member of the office staff, young Republican gun owner.
Right.
When he leaves, he has, like, parties.
Yeah.
He has a cake, and he walks around and he cries, and he hugs everybody, and he tells everybody how much he's going to miss them.
They're back in a month or two.
Right. And
we're not buying it next time.
Right. Gotcha, Andy.
Right.
Good gig. Like, the last time he left, I think, when he came in crying and hugging me, was when he had his position with Blockbuster Video. And then that didn't work out.
So he's back again. He's been here, well, it's going on one. I think he's, going on his longest tenure here. I think so.
I'm going to call him.
We've had Andy on the show a lot until we, had kind of a falling out.
I don't know why we did.
I don't either. He's fun. I still say hello, Andrew. But it's always that kind of, I say, hello, Andrew. He says, hello, Michael. And he walks by and
he was our intern. That's how we started here. Remember?
That's how we started here.
We had two interns named Andy. We had Fast Andy because Andy Rice was bright.
Oh, man.
And we had that guy Slow Andy who was a retard who we had to fire.
Now we've grown so far apart, I didn't even remember that he was our intern. I really didn't. I swear to God.
That's how he got started here.
From George Mason he came to us,
and
right?
Then the station hired him after his internship was over.
Rob, resident historian of the Don and Mike Show, will now fill in the blank.
This is fun. You know who actually called him when he first got your internship?
Who?
John Pop. John Pop technically is the liaison that brings you two and Andy Rice together.
Really?
Thank you, John.
What time is it? It's, he might have left 20 minutes early. That's not unusual. He's usually... Well, he's a 5:29:30 guy, isn't
he? Yeah, he is. On Friday, he's more like a 3:59 guy.
Hi.
Hi, is Andy Rice in the building?
Yeah, I believe so.
Hey, would you put me through to his office?
Is this Colette?
Yeah.
Hi, Colette.
Hi, David.
Hi, Colette.
Hi.
Hi, is Andy Rice in the building?
And don't forget, Andy loves planning lunches. Always plans lunch. During it about 10, you're still about 2 planning lunches.
You know what I love about Colette?
Everything.
She still laughs when I spin the message caddy.
Really?
Yeah. I love that woman. I love the way that works. She still laughs when I... Well, I'm old again.
Carla takes particular delight in telling me I have no messages. And I look at me like, hey, fool, why are you even looking there?
No messages for you.
Because every day I come in and I look down in that little slot, mm-hmm. and they look at me like I'm some kind of idiot.
Mm-hmm. See, nobody calls you. What are you looking for? And I still, the reason I spin that thing is because I still have...
Hi, WTFK Traffic Department. Sorry I missed your call. Please leave your name.
Bobby, go find
him. Number, and I'll get back as soon as possible.
He's hiding.
Check up in the lunchroom. Check by the snack.
Check in the ladies' room. Andy sits while he pees.
Yes, he does. That was a big thing about Andy. We haven't talked to Andy. We can, if we get through him, we can get his thoughts on Frankenstein returning to
the return of Steve Goldstein.
Absolutely.
And what about that other rumor you heard?
Which one?
The one about DD coming back.
Oh, that's right. I think it might be true.
Another name from the past.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry to be in here again, but I did find Andy, and I think he's hiding in Bobby's office. He doesn't want to come down and talk to you right
Why?
Now.
Why? Why? What's his problem?
He used to be our intern.
All right, I'll call him in Bobby's office. Do you think he's hiding up there, Charlie?
Well, when I saw him, he was standing behind the door. Cheeseburger.
I love it when you come in with an unfinished cheeseburger.
Thanks.
Thank you, Charlie.
Okay.
He's very sneaky.
That producer of ours, Charlie Borgel.
I'm now calling the business manager, Bobby Hollingsworth.
Oh, dear.
But she doesn't duck our calls.
No.
Normally she doesn't.
I don't want
to. Don't look at me like that.
I don't know.
No way.
I've been uneasy around her. I haven't noticed anything from her at all, but I've been quite nervous.
With Bobby?
Yes, just a little nervous.
Why?
I don't want to talk about this.
Oh, come on.
I'll tell you off the air. Buzz pass.
Okay.
Don and Mike are trying to get a hold of Andy Rice, who used to be part of the show. He may be hiding in Miss Bobby's office, but Miss Bobby, who usually answers, isn't for some reason.
I don't think that's right.
Okay. I just don't think. I'm not sure.
She's been the same with me.
She has been the same with you.
Yeah.
I have.
Hello.
Hi, Bobby.
Hello.
Hey, it's Don and Mike.
Oh, dear, how are you?
Hey, darling. Is Andrew Rice hiding in your office?
I was down the hall when I came in. He left.
Hey, see, but he's still in the building, huh?
Yeah, I guess he is.
Uh-huh. How many times has he quit and come back to work here, Bobby?
Three.
Three
times. He's the record holder.
We didn't know if it was three or four.
We must find him.
Okay.
Now it's a quest.
Well, he still may be the record holder.
Yeah, I think he is. All right. Love you, Bobby.
Okay, dear. Me too.
Bye.
Well, she's fine. I know. Now I feel better.
She's absolutely fine.
I think everything's fine.
She really runs the station.
She ran the station with Ken Lissi. She'll run the station with Alan.
Yeah, she's the power broker. But Andy is hiding from us.
Right. And why, I don't know.
Isn't our message to Andy that we want to be friends again?
Hey, no.
Okay.
No.
The message to Andy is we just want to know how many times he's come and gone, how many going away parties he's had when he's worked here.
You think if you ran out, Mike, and yelled at the top of your lungs, Andy? You think you called him like a dog?
Try it. Do it the way that my mom used to do it. She used to call me in. Because we used to have a rule, of course. I would have to come in when the street lights went on.
Right.
You know, and if I wasn't in by that time, you'd hear my mom sticking her head out the door screaming.
Rob's going to go out and call Andy.
Andy!
Try the lower register now, Rob.
Andy!
Now give me one of these. Like a mom would call.
Andy!
And now, finally, the angry father call.
No sign of him.
All right.
Oh, man.
That's a wacky place to work.
Oh, our listeners have been deprived of a great talent. Young Republican.
Mm-hmm.
Gun owner.
Yes.
Future psychopath.
Yeah, we always thought that Andy would not leave, but he would actually just let this place really get to him and be up on the roof.
And when he leaves, he could take some of us with him.
Oh, absolutely.
No doubt about that.
For the eternal sleep of the dead. With Andrew Rice. Andrew Rice.
Well, I remember the last time when he left for a job at Blockbuster,
mm-hmm.
he came in and he was like,
I'm really going to miss you, man.
Yeah, that's right.
You guys meant so much to me.
It's like, okay, Andy.
We always thought it was going to be someday we were going to be standing in the lobby and somebody would walk in and say, hey, is there a wedding upstairs? And no, somebody just threw rice off the roof.
Because is a nutty place to work.
It is indeed.
And even though it's such a nutty place, they all keep coming back.
They do.
Right. They keep coming back. Frankenstein is coming back. Steve Goldstein is coming back.
There will not be a welcome party, even though he is not a nod. Everybody respects his work ethic. He's a hardworking guy. But I do not believe that there will be a celebration.
No,
welcome home.
Well, there's resentment from all the people who got passed over for that position.
Now, here's a question. Who will get here earlier, Tim McWilliams or Steve Goldstein?
Well, that's a horse race.
That really is.
Yeah, and Steve's also, I don't think anybody can tackle Steve's overall hours. I think if he's getting here late, he's staying late. And
oftentimes he gets here at like 6:30, really, when like nothing was going on. He'd just be here.
Oh, that's
going
to be interesting to see who gets here earlier.
What about the Deborah Dean rumor?
Oh, that's not a rumor.
Is that fact, Double D coming back?
Yeah.
When
you said DD, I got confused.
That's what you're always thinking about.
Yeah, I heard that that's happening. Mm-hmm. I got that one from Madonna.
She's another one who's left and is coming back now.
You know when she starts?
No, I don't. We ought to get a confirmation on it, though, since I heard it just the other day.
I know Steve starts Valentine's Day, and there's no sweeter gift.
That's great. Oh, yes, he's our boxing champion.
And there's Sean Dell in the hall. She's another one who's left and come back maybe three times.
Amazing.
Right. This place is like a goddamn no-pest strip.
Yeah, that's right, DD. I think she's coming back. I think that's true. We could probably get a confirmation on that.
She was always good on this show, too.
She was,
Deborah Dean.
We could have
a dingbat she is.
We could have a Steve Goldstein and Deborah Dean.
Jesus Christ.
A new anchor piece.
And then now with the weather, he's Andy Rice.
Don't talk to me!
Here's Andy Rice giving you the forecast, sitting down while he urinates.
I'm very, very disappointed if he is in the building.
He's here.
That he has a, is that his new thing? He just doesn't want anything to do with us?
I guess so. I don't know.
All right. Well, we'll find out.
This is a wacky place. We have to break. We'll be right back. This is Valentine's Day Hot Tub Show coming right up. Also, Wednesday. Rob?
Yes?
Let's hear a little bit more of your tape. You know, all week long, every day, I wanted to get back to the tape of Rob with Homo Joe in New York for the Sopranos premiere.
Yes, their whirlwind weekend.
And we did get to hear Rob with the boy and the girl from the Sopranos and Rob with Tony Soprano's mother.
Right.
But we didn't get to hear Rob and Homo Joe taking a carriage ride in Central Park.
That's one I'm looking forward to.
Going to the Empire State Building.
Yeah, just a few moments, and, you know, just we can touch on it and see what you enjoy. Also, can we call Hilaire today?
I don't know if we'll have time to call him.
Does Homo Joe...
That's the drunk guy that you met in the bar.
Yeah. Does Homo Joe make any sense at all on the rest of this tape?
You know what? This is... The parts you're about to see were Stone Cold Sober. So there's a good chance that we'll both be making sense.
All right. Here's Rob and Homo Joe last weekend in New York taking a carriage ride. The things that lovers do.
Sure.
Through Central Park.
So it is about 1 o'clock. It's almost 1 o'clock in Central Park. We're about to take our horse-drawn carriage ride. Joe, is this the gayest thing we've done so far?
I think so, because this has got little hearts all over it. I mean, this is just too gay.
Yeah. This is even a little gay for your taste, Joe.
It's way too gay.
And we probably wouldn't have chosen this carriage, but it's the one you have to take. They actually, they make you take one. They make you take the one that is right up front. Now, if our cab driver almost got us killed in traffic, I have no idea how they're going to do with a horse-drawn carriage.
I hope we've survived this, Robbie. A little jolt through the park. A jolt through the park.
And we should be as honored because this is a gay park.
Now, Joe, is this a pleasure trip for you, or are you recruiting?
Oh, I think we should recruit, don't you think?
Don't say we, pal.
Well, I'll recruit for me.
Okay. That'll be fine.
You just have to report live.
Well, it's nice. They've got a nice a blanket in case Joe's legs get cold. No offense, Joe. I'm not getting under the blanket with you.
I do not blame you.
I'll just stay here and shiver.
So you're in the cart right now. You're in the...
At any time do we hear the clompity clomp of the horse's feet?
You should. I mean,
is it moving now, or...
No, I think we're about to get started. You know what? I can't imagine people doing this in the summer, because it was like about 20 degrees and stunk like crazy.
Really?
That's a nasty bit of business, those livery chauffeurs.
So you're nestled in the
bosom of Homo Joe's carriage.
It is a covered carriage with heart-shaped windows. There is a blanket, but I shied away from the blanket.
Gotcha.
And we're off.
Oh, here we go. He's off.
Not setting any land speed records.
What happened there? What, did you turn the tape on?
It stopped the tape, yeah. I'm waiting for a highlight to happen. Oh, and there's plenty.
You guys you sound like you're a little tired.
Very well, because you heard how we were the night before.
That's right.
Oh, right, because this is now Saturday afternoon after you've been out all night at that bar with that guy from
Smith Barney?
Hamilton Smith Barney.
Yeah.
The hoofbeats on him, Mike, but let's see if we can paint a picture for you.
That's good, Ron.
Sure is romantic, you know, the way a horse can transport you, and you wonder why these people move to automobiles until you take a nice big breath through your nose.
Very, especially if you've eaten just recently, it just kind of does as the stomach turns.
You have to wonder, you have to wonder what this city must smell like in the summertime.
Yeah, I don't think it's pretty safe, Robert.
What smells worse? That horse or homo's breath? Horse wins there.
How is his breath on the weekend?
You know, I didn't pick up on his breath the whole weekend.
Okay.
Homo Joe's got some bad breath.
Yeah, death breath. He had death breath one time when he was at one of our Las Vegas.
I mean, he's got ass breath, and there's no gay joke intended there. He just has ass breath.
He's come in to the studio many times, used that microphone, and I've gotten it over here.
Maybe the breath has improved since he's gone celibate. I don't know if there's a connection.
Very, very right.
You know, you're shutting off the tape because you guys have nothing to say.
We've run out of material. We are in the most exciting city in America, in the park, taking a horse drawn carriage ride, and it's just not much to say.
Nothing to say. You just want to look out the window.
I guess we can have some sort of chime that goes like, bung! Now, Joe, what is this for him, Mark?
It would be where you would first find George Michaels at the tea rooms. You know, the gays like to work the tea rooms in the park.
Now, you mean the sportscaster or the singer?
Oh, the singer.
Chicago! I see. So that is something of a gay hangout. And it just, I guess, what are they, just like little rest areas in the middle of Central Park or any other gay-friendly park?
That would be correct. The restrooms in most parks are very gay-friendly. The gays go in there to do their thing, including when we went to King's Dominion. I should have asked for a few people that were doing it.
As a man says, you live, you learn.
Yeah, really.
I think when we see a someone actually walking through Central Park eating a pretzel, like the gentleman back there.
Hey, buddy. I see the wind on this.
That was that your driver?
That's our driver.
Oh, you're driving up from this country, I gather.
I couldn't tell.
She's
okay.
That is what the movies are. Home Alone 2 and Love Story to live on this.
Okay, Home Alone 2 and Love Story were filmed at this skating rink we're about to pass over. And I wonder what our hack. Oh, that's another good word on a livery chauffeur. You get to call the driver a hack, right?
Right, a hack.
His name is Louis Moren. And
that's gotta be an alien.
I thought Moren might actually be a derivation of the word Murphy because he's painting a picture for us.
A lovely picture.
Horse named Max, okay?
I'm sorry, what?
Horse named Max.
Oh, the horse is named Max.
Max has a stink to a bottom
of it. Thanks, Joe.
These artificial flowers, I think you'd be seeing if I brought them to the other side of the parish as well.
You think
it's
like?
I give you credit for hopping into this carriage. That's really good.
So, Joe, now we've obviously you're not pleased with the decor scheme of this livery chauffeur. You don't like the heart-shaped windows. By the way, neither do I. You don't like the silk flowers. You don't like the smell of Max. But I think a few throw pillows and a coat of paint would really wake this place up, don't you?
Just a little gate decorating.
Robbie, let's go to the Empire State Building.
What's the next timer code on that? 2248.
Okay.
Okay, now we're gonna fast forward. I'm going to spare you folks, Rob and Joe, going to the Trump Tower.
Okay.
Talking to a street vendor, trying to buy hot dogs. going to a street musician. We will cut right to Rob and Joe entering the Empire State Building.
And it should be pointed out that Homo Joe did not like the smell of the horses there. Who knew?
Mm-hmm. Really? Imagine.
I don't like the decor. I don't like the decor drop.
Great, the steam might have been coming from the flugelhorn.
Here we are, Empire State
Building. One red hot horn player. Here we are at the Empire State Building. Where is it? 34th and 5th Avenue. And brother, it's a tall one. Don't forget to ask for the gay discount.
Yes, indeed. The gay handicap discount.
I did not know it was a handicap. Visibility today is 25 miles, which is pretty incredible.
We might even be able to see the Jersey Shore.
Yeah.
That's scary. Jersey Shore.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's they should give us a price break for that. And for about 15 or 20 minutes. And
I
Because that had to be an uncomfortable 15 or 20 minutes.
And I don't know if I say it on the tape or not, but the Empire State Building is like Disneyland. Every time you get through a line, there's another line.
Yeah, it was an old, old building, too.
It costs, like, I think, $8 to get up to the observation deck, and you have to stand in no fewer than, like, five lines to get there.
Bug, what was it like when they were building the Empire State Building?
Well, the visibility wasn't as good, I can tell you that much.
It could be like Disneyland here at the ESB. That's what they call it here in the biz.
ESB.
But every time you turn a corner, there's another line.
An ESB.
Almost
ESB.
No, but I could use an ESB.
We're on the observatory deck.
Hello, two for the observatory, please.
Do you have a gay disco? A gay disco?
What?
Gay.
No gay discount. Could you guess which one of us is gay? Oh, come on, take a stab at it.
We have a receipt, please. We have a receipt. Did she ever guess?
No, she never did.
She never did. That's an insult, Rob.
Yeah, I know.
Was that the first time that question was posed, or did you do that anywhere else?
Yeah, that was the first time. I think maybe, looking back, that might have been a good question to ask a lot of people.
I think that's wonderful.
Well, perhaps on our next trip.
That's good. That's a good question.
That'd be great. You know, Joe, she won't guess. I think that's sort of a slap at me.
Yeah, yeah, right.
You have problems. I'm going to explain to your wife how you got this. To be the gay one. It must be that haircut.
Okay, you
just...
Oh, I see.
Okay. Well, then I'm in the wrong line, I guess.
What is my first name?
Funny Fox. Now I believe the cashier said the other cashier can give the gay discount. And she was sort of...
She made some reference to you being the one she thought was gay, because I hear Joe... Are we skirting by this? Or
no,
at one point?
I think that she did not guess, and then I said that sort of is a shame.
There'll be no mollycoddling.
We give away a lot of cash on the Don and Mike Show, but sometimes we even outdo ourselves. Like, for instance, $10,000 for naming a secret celebrity laugh.
Who is that?
TV's Lyle Wagner. Oh, my gosh!
You have just won
$10,000.
Wow.
I hope I didn't get in trouble.
Yeah, you did, but you're happy, aren't you?
Oh, I'm ecstatic.
Can we hear a scream? Because you won
$10,000. $10,000. How about this? We're not even close to being done yet. Your chance to win up to 10 G's is coming up, so don't go anywhere. You could be saying hello to a cool 10 large, and we could be saying so long to our budget and maybe our jobs. So listen while you can. The $10,000 Secret Celebrity Laugh.
Oh, my gosh, I'm shaking.
Only on the Don and Mike Show.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Excuse me, Chief. I got something here you might want to see.
Hey, dude. Talk through the movie. Certified Blouse Clown Inspectors, Don and Mike.
Well, that tape means it's time to talk movies.
Yeah.
The pride of Puerto Rico. Hello, Senor Stoffel.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hola. It's Stoffel time, everybody. Let me play him in.
And now, the pride of Puerto Rico. Here's movie man Charlie Stoffel.
Charlie comes to us via the AMC movie theater chain. Charlie is our movie man.
Mike Blasting on it.
It's your body language when you come in here. It's like a guy that's ready, you know, that's ready for ultimate fighting.
Charlie is also our project. I have a couple of non-movie items to ask you about.
All right.
Meaning your life is a work in progress.
Oh, dear. Very dear.
Oh, dear. Did you talk to your brother about us?
No, I haven't yet.
So you haven't spoken to him last week to your brother who hates us?
No, I haven't.
That sort of stays where it is then, huh?
Yeah, when I see him, I'll ask him, but okay. I'm not going to call him out of the blue just to find out.
Okay. The second item I wanted to ask you
about.
By the
way, I vote for the Jack Cassidy.
Okay.
Very good.
Thank you.
That's nice. You're a smart guy. That's to be expected.
Shouldn't have brought that up. Somebody faxed in his bio.
Oh, really?
His birth name is John Joseph Edward Cassidy.
But he did
John Joseph Edward Cassidy. He was on McCloud, Matt Helm, Cannon, Mary Tyler Moore, Alias Smith and Jones, Night Gallery, Bonanza, Bewitched. I had both Darrens. I'm Jack Cassidy. And I'm bisexual.
How are you? Yes.
Hello, Charlie.
Hello, Charlie.
Charlie Stossel. Jack Cassidy.
I'm bisexual.
I wanted to ask you about
the promotion you did with the Washington Capitals. Because we got calls on Monday.
Yeah, they're conflicting stories here.
No, there are no conflicting stories.
What we heard.
I got booed by 15,000 people at the MCI.
What we heard is that on Sunday.
On Sunday.
Charlie was at the Capitals game, and in between periods, you were doing one of those.
The whole story. You want the whole story?
Well, just tell me first if you fell down or not.
No, I didn't slip. I more like just fell backwards out of embarrassment.
All right, well, what's the whole story? I'd like to hear about you being booed and everything.
Between the second and third period, me and three friends were going to go down and participate in a promotion for Amtrak, where if you shoot a puck into the net, and we're maybe 10, 15 feet away from the net, shoot it into the net between 140 and 160 miles per hour, our combined score, we all get Amtrak tickets. Not a bad deal. And
you got to really rifle it into the net.
Yeah. And I have a nice dinner at the Red Sage downtown, which is a very nice restaurant, just for doing this. So they come and pull us down with 10 minutes left in the second period.
Mm-hmm.
So there we are backstage. And I have Brad, the 10-year-old, my surrogate son, with
your big buddy.
He is staying in the seat like, all right. And he plays hockey. He was going to be my ringer, but they wouldn't let him do it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're there backstage. It's me, one of my friends, my brother, and his wife. So we're all back there. And my brother Pete and I look at each other and say, all right. The two of us, we'll rifle it in, and then what the girls do, if they, you know, miss or they just hit it poorly, hopefully it won't matter.
This brother Pete, this is not the brother who hates us.
No.
This is the other brother.
The one that Mike has met.
How many people get to shoot?
Four.
Four in the combined score.
Between 140 and 160.
So it'll be the two Stossel men and the women you had with you.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
Very simple game. We're back there, and we're practicing, taking the puck, flicking it around, just wrist shots, slap shots into this board that they have back there, to the point where they tell us, hey, stop it. Don't hit that board. We have to use that. You know, think we're going to break it or something. And by the way, everyone behind the stage listens to the show. They all love the show.
Okay.
It's time for us to go out there on the ice.
Yeah.
And my friend Michelle is going to go first. So Michelle gets there, basically slides her stick and the puck along and gets 35, 36 miles an hour.
Which is not bad.
Not bad. I get up there. Charlie Macho. I'm going to get up there. All right. Spread your feet a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Hand a little bit lower on the stick.
Well, tell me about the ovation you received when they announced you.
I was concentrating on the puck. I didn't get booed until afterwards.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
A smattering of applause. You know, everyone's cheering for us. You know, yeah, do good. All right, concentrate. Rear back with the stick. Whack! The blade of my stick hit the ice about 3 inches in front of the puck. I end up popping the puck.
Yeah, baby.
The puck rolls maybe 5 feet in front of me, doesn't even get into the net.
Booze.
Well, I didn't know this, the booze first. This was like a slow motion thing where it got quiet in the arena, and all I'm doing is looking, going, Christ, I can't believe I did this. And I went, no! And just fell back onto the ice with my hands and my fist, no! And then it started slowly, and it built into a crescendo. Boo! And I'm lying there, no! And our brother gets up about 60 miles an hour. His wife misses the net totally. So out of the four, I was the big F-up of the entire thing. And then I'm
thinking, what, about 90 miles an hour combined?
Come on, something stupid like that.
So before the record, did you fall or was it like a mock? Oh,
it was a mock. No, it was a mock thing.
You fell back. Any time did your butt touch the ice?
My back did. I fell just... No. Again,
so you did a demonstrative little, so embarrassed.
Yes, it was not a slip on the ice.
Because that's what we had read. We got calls. Someone said that when Charlie shot,
he stomped his feet and his feet went out from under him.
No. No, this was and just fell back. No, they give you these little ice shoes, which basically have like nuts and bolts and screws on the bottom of them. You can't fall on the ice.
Okay.
It's almost like spikes on the ice. You can't fall.
Gotcha.
All right.
So that's your story.
That's my story.
And the girl that you took, this is another one of your Elaine friends?
Well, yeah, but she'll be moving and there will be no replacement for her. I'm done with the Elaine friends.
Now, when you say that there will be no replacement, do you mean that you say that in a complimentary fashion, or do you mean that you will not have any more?
You're tired of going out with girls you don't get anything off of.
Right.
Tired of the Elaine friends.
You never got anything off this girl who went to the hockey game with you? You don't want anything off her.
She's very nice, and we get along great for about 3 or 4 hours, and after about that time, we're ready to kill each other. So we know when at the end of a hockey game, it's time just to go our own ways.
Have you ever had a sexual thought about her?
Her? Oh, yeah, sure. Who hasn't?
She's hot?
She's very nice. She's a very nice girl.
How come you've been, if you've been, how long have you been friends with her?
About 3 or 4 years.
3 or 4 years, and you guys go out on a semi-regular basis?
There was a time for about a year where we really didn't do a whole lot.
How come you never made a move?
Who's to say? Because it's
making me laugh.
I'm glad he's making me laugh. The inquisitive nature of Don Geronimo. There are things with my friend Michelle that I would not want to get involved with. Just more of personality. I think that we
ever feel her up.
Yeah, all the time. I look.
Have you ever felt her up?
I reach my hand out and I greet her breast.
Have you ever felt her up?
You guys ever have a kiss? Like a real passionate kiss?
No.
And does she give off a vibe that just says, you know, stay away, male, safe male friend?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, oh, yeah.
You ever get aroused around her?
If I give her a hug or something, it's, no, get away. Yeah.
Have you ever seen her in a bathrobe, swimsuit?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Looks good.
Really?
So if
the opportunity presented itself, if she was willing,
oh,
she would be willing?
Oh, yeah. Just if it were, oh, yeah.
But how does she know if you've never tried?
Oh, no, I've told her. We've talked about it. Like, oh, yeah, I would. You know I would. In the heart.
So you'll say something like, you know, I'll say, man, what I need to do is find a woman like you. I'm so attracted to you. And
no.
She just goes,
nothing like
get
that.
Out of here.
It's nothing like that.
Really?
Yeah.
You never said to her, like, I would pound you so hard.
No, I may have.
You would beg for more.
I may have in jest.
Okay.
Yeah, we had a bet at one point last year who would get laid first. We actually had a bet to see.
She won, right?
I won.
You won?
I won.
Oh, really? Huzzah.
Well, that's great.
Huzzah.
But never a comment like driving home, boy, I could bang you so hard the airbags are going to rock.
No.
You've never petted this girl? Never?
No. Never.
Would that be heavy petting?
Heavy petting. Like.
Yeah, I didn't mention the hockey thing. The worst thing about it, when you finish, they take you upstairs and dump you right into the concourse, and I think every eye in the place is looking at me, but the worst thing is when I get back to my seat, I got to face Brad. Mm-hmm. Who just looks at me, shakes his head like, you freaking moron. Yeah. The worst thing I had to admit.
Have you ever thought about this girl?
I'm just leaving.
Get off the subject.
No, last question.
Then I want to ask you about the movies. Since this girl's leaving, have you ever thought about a go-away F or a...
A go-away F.
A mercy F?
A mercy F.
Wait, or taking a step
mercy F.
Just throwing yourself on the line. You're not going to see her. She's moving out of town.
You want to see her, though. She's still going to look for a car.
Why did you jump her? Just, I mean, really, like, really go out, ply her full of drinks. You both drink. And then you just, you know, you decide to make the big move and just take the chance.
Maybe tonight, there's a going-away party for her tonight. Maybe.
Did you ever think of the chance that maybe she, all along, has desperately wanted you to do this?
No.
But there would be a chance if she got drunk, you could, like, throw yourself on her tonight.
No.
You know, your hot, boozy breath.
What's your first name? Boozy breath.
What's her name, Elaine? Whatever her name is.
Give her a goodbye kiss. Lead with the tongue.
Really?
Just have it sitting straight out there before I even get close.
I
don't want you to demonstrate
I wanted you so much.
Glad. Ever since I've known you.
I just want to say enjoy your trip. Oh, good idea. And how about a goodbye kiss?
You should go for it, Charlie.
Yeah, thank you, Don. Thank you for that advice. I'll take it under advisement.
You really should. Well, maybe she's listening now. I urge her to make a move.
She hates the show.
Charlie wants you. She's listening. See, I bet she's lying about that, too.
No, she's not lying.
With sexual energy.
Although friends listen to the show, and I'm sure this will get back to her within that.
So then I'm going to urge her through the friends, since she doesn't listen. Wink, wink. I will urge her tonight at the party to pet you. I want her to know that Charlie would like to be petted tonight.
Yeah, maybe a going away present starts with shaking hands with Mr. Charlie.
It's not
little
like
Charlie.
Hi, how are you?
Wouldn't you like that, the popcorn box trick tonight?
Oh, God.
That'd be a wonderful going away present.
I'm sure it would.
Yeah, she goes, hey, Charlie. Bang, grabs you right there.
Need a new hockey buddy, though. That's the worst thing.
So you're looking, you know what that means? When he talks like that, he's looking for a...
No. I've got the month filled out. The month is full.
Mm-hmm. See, Charlie, listen to this. I've been married almost 20 years, and for goodness sakes, I remember more about dating than you do. And you're out there. What I mean is, I'm thinking now, if I was in that situation tonight, she's
she's the prime opportunity. You're probably never going to see her again.
No, I will see. No, I'll still see quite a bit of her.
Why? She's moving.
She still works though for our company.
Ask where you were.
Yeah, exactly.
Or where you eat.
Okay,
exactly.
Take it all back.
Never mind. Well, just trying to feel her though.
Okay.
You can feel her.
I'll do that tonight. I'll report back next week.
Okay, please do.
On how they were.
Especially after 3.5 years.
Yeah.
I'm sure she wants to shake hands with Uncle Charlie.
That'll be the first thing I say. Shake hands with Uncle Charlie.
Uncle Charlie, Chip, and Ernie.
The whole family.
All right, Chuck. Movies. What is new with the movies?
Bottom to top as usual. Let's start off with the Freddie Prinze classic, Down to You.
This is Freddie Prinze Jr., right?
Yeah, I should say. If his dad was in a
it could be Freddie Prinze
Sr. affair.
Oh, God.
This is Freddie Prinze Jr. and Julia Stiles.
No, listen to that carriage ride.
This is a girl who was in 10 Things I Hate About You. They are students in New York City. And he is a chef. She is just a student. They try to get together.
Yeah.
It's just it's your typical teen movie, but not to the level that 10 Things I Hate About You or She's All That is. So that's where we start on the bottom.
All right, and
our way up.
You did not like the Freddie Prinze movie.
Great.
How many porcelain dolls do you
have?
One and a half dolls. All right, what else?
Play It to the Bone.
This is a Woody Harrelson movie?
Woody Harrelson, Antonio Banderas.
Oh,
I hate
Woody Harrelson.
Lucy Liu, written and directed by Ron Shelton. Now, Ron Shelton has made some very good sports movies. Bull Durham, White Man Can't Jump, Tin Cup. Mm-hmm. He shouldn't make boxing movies. This, except for the last 15 minutes where you actually see the two of them in the ring pounding the crap out of each other in slow motion with blood and spit and pus, all sorts of things just flying in the air. It's not worth going up to that. The basic storyline is these two guys are friends. They're offered $100,000 that they can split if they can get out to Vegas and fight each other for a Mike Tyson undercard because they need somebody to fill in. And they then hop into a car, drive out, and it's the wacky adventures of them driving out to Vegas, and then once they're in Vegas, getting in the ring. Like I said, the best part of this movie is the last 15, 20 minutes where they are actually in the ring fighting
each other. Not worth waiting for Woody Harrelson. Ugh.
At least does Woody Harrelson get beat up in this movie?
They both do.
Oh, okay.
They bloody each other up very nice.
How many porcelain dolls do you get?
One and a half porcelain dolls.
Okay.
Best movie of the week, Angela's Ashes.
Oh, no, I'll tell you, this will surprise you that I'm looking forward to seeing this movie.
Really?
Did you read the book? I enjoyed the book a lot.
From what I understand, I didn't read the book since I don't read. It sticks to the book quite a bit.
It's a good book. It's kind of a sad book, right?
Oh, yeah, a story of author Frank McCourt and his family when he was a child being in Brooklyn and just crap Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. They say, the heck with this, we're going back to Ireland, to their hometown in Ireland. They go back there, and the whole time McCourt is actually the narrator throughout the film, telling little stories here and there. It reminded me a little bit, although not to the humorous extent, of A Christmas Story, how Gene Shepherd was narrating over that.
And Frank McCourt did the narration himself?
Yes. Yes, he does.
That's interesting, okay.
And he's narrating parts of the story. Robert Carlyle plays this alcoholic, no good,
he's the villain
no
of the movie.
Job, mm-hmm. father.
Right.
Emily Watson is mom, Angela, thus the title of the film, trying to keep the family together however she can. He then later on decides, the heck with this Ireland thing, I'm coming back to America, and that is basically your movie. It's his childhood from about the time he was 4 or 5,
and incredibly
growing
depressing.
Up.
I mean, like with the, you know,
Ireland
babies
depressing.
Dying and
yeah.
stuff like
they,
that.
They lose kids left and right.
And in Limerick, and they're all, you know, there's the older folks in Limerick are just pissed at this guy because they're saying, you know, what you're saying is you know, 90% crap. But I mean, you anybody
it,
that reads history
does,
knows that that's the way Limerick
I believed in Limerick.
Yeah, I believed it too when
it
I read
it. It does not paint a pleasant picture of Ireland.
Mm-hmm. And, no, it's like getting doors shut when they go to churches for help and stuff like that.
Because also, the family doesn't accept him because the husband in the film is Protestant and from Northern Ireland.
Right.
So he's not accepted in the family. They think that any of the problems with the kids are a direct result of dad's genes. And he's just outcast from the get-go. Not a bad film, though. I really expected it to be dull and boring.
You know, I've been to that town. I've been to that, when I went over there, I went to Limerick. In fact, I spent like a night there. And they say on all the tourist things, they say, you know, this is where you kind of avoid, you know, you go to the little seaside areas, and I was in Limerick, and it, you know, you can actually, it has
hasn't changed all that much. You can see where it might have been like that way back when.
Long movie, 2 hours and 45 minutes, once you throw trailers and everything on, but not a bad film.
How many porcelain dolls do you give this?
Three. Yeah, not bad.
So that's the best movie of the weekend.
Best movie of the week, by far.
Gotcha. Thank you, Sean.
All right, guys. Good luck tonight.
Why, thank you.
Give it a try.
I hope next week I'll be asking if I can smell your fingers.
Good luck, Charlie. Go for it!
And now, the pride of Puerto Rico. Here's movie man Charlie Stossel.
There he goes. And just remember this, Charlie. She wants it.
Yeah.
And she's wanted it for 3 years.
She wants it from you. She wants her hot Stossel.
A hot Stossel with mustard.
Give me a hot Stossel. I'll take a hot Stossel with everything on.
I'm here. He arrives at that party with his hot Stossel.
And furthermore, if you really want to get laid, talk like Jack Cassidy. Jack Cassidy. Hello there. Hey, good luck with your future endeavors. Now I'd like you to meet Uncle Charlie Chip and Ernie.
We've known each other for 3.5 years. I've never copped a feel. I've never petted you. But look at me. I'm ready for you. I'm Jack Cassidy. I'm John Joseph Edward Cassidy.
Time for tongues to intertwine.
Born 5 March 1927. Died 12 December 1976, West Hollywood. Fell asleep smoking in living room. Couch ignited. Fire! Father of David, Sean, Patrick Cassidy.
Cassidy.
I'm Jack Cassidy.
Jack Cassidy.
Bisexual.
Goodbye, Charlie Stossel. We have a shot at up to $10,000 right now. I know you heard the toast happen, Touchstone.
All right.
That's why all the lines are ringing. Good luck. Let's do the secret celebrity laugh. Chance at winning up to 10 grand. Phone number 1-877-365-3636. We'll take the 100th call right now to give everybody an equal chance. Good luck.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Thanks, Larry.
God damn it.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
We're going to wait on Howie Long a couple more seconds. Some stupid coaches meeting right now with the St. Louis Rams. It'll either be Howard Long, Jonathan Madden,
yes,
or Matthew Millen.
Really, he's given us the dealer's choice.
Well, one of those three guys is supposed to call us this break.
Very good.
So let's get our caller 100. Then we'll talk to Rudy Marsky and get our NFL fix for the weekend.
Good.
Hello, John and Mike. So turn that radio down.
I'm sorry about that. I was waiting for you guys to pick up the phone.
Right. You're calling 100. What is your name?
My name is Ashma.
Ashma?
Ashma with an S.
Ashma.
Yes.
Where are you calling from, Ashma?
I'm actually in Atlanta.
You are the 100th caller, Ashma.
That's great.
You have won the Sopranos prize pack. Please don't miss the Sopranos this Sunday at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, only on HBO. Now, Ashma, before we play the secret celebrity laugh, I'm going to give you a chance to win an extra prize.
Okay, great.
Okay? You know that today we were all going to fart, right? Are you aware of that?
I heard that.
Right. Well, a couple of us have farted into the microphone already today.
Okay.
Really? And I'm going to play you a fart right now.
Okay.
If you can tell me who farted, you will win. Ashma?
Ashma, yes,
you might get that car pulled over because you're kind of breaking up.
She's in a good cell.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. If you can tell me who farted, you're going to win 12 free WWF pay-per-view events on your local Cox cable.
Wow.
That's a pay-per-view every month for WWF.
Are you there, Ashma?
Ashma, baby.
Oh, dear. No, disconnected.
All right.
The perfect contestant.
She calls back.
Yes.
Give her a prize if she gets through again.
Make sure you have that radio turned up real loud next time when you call back.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Well, this time it's a car phone where nobody says anything.
Hello?
And now it's gone.
That's another bad cell. You know, I think it's everybody calling at once.
I think that this time of day, that everybody's on their horn.
Don and Mike Show.
My call 100?
Is there anybody that calls this show from home anymore?
No.
I don't think so. Who's this, please?
This is Joe.
Joe, where are you calling from?
I'm from Baltimore.
All right, Joe, listen. You win the Sopranos stuff. Sopranos HBO, 9 Eastern, 8 Central. You want to play? You want to play Who Farted? A bonus prize right now?
Sure.
All right. If you win, you'll get 12 free WWF pay-per-views from Comcast and Cox Cable. This is an extra bonus contest. You know, we were going to do the contest today, Who Farted? But only a couple of us farted.
Okay.
So your choices on this edition of Who Farted are Don, Mike, Rob, Buzz, Charlie, or Rockhead. Are you ready?
Yes.
Who farted? Here we go. Who farted?
Sounded like Rockhead.
No.
Not Rockhead.
Sorry.
Thank you, though. Now.
Oh, man.
Let's move on. The Secret Celebrity Lab.
Although it's tough to move on after that. That was truly incredible.
Are you ready for the Secret Celebrity Laugh?
Yes.
We'll play you the laugh right now. You'll play for $1,000. If you can identify this celebrity who's laughing, we'll pay you $1,000. Please don't answer until Mike sings like.
Jack Cassidy.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Good luck, and Godspeed! I'm Jack Cassidy.
Yeah.
Jack Cassidy.
Caller, name this secret celebrity laugh.
I hadn't heard a fart like that since I spent the night with Gene Roddenberry from Star Trek. I'm Jack Cassidy. That's why I first heard the joke about Klingons in your ass.
There you are.
That's right, Cassidy. Yes, Jack. Yes. Yes. Oh, yes. I'm Jack Cassidy.
I'm Jack Cassidy.
I'm bisexual.
So am I.
For $1,000, who is that secret celebrity laugh?
I have a clue. I hadn't heard it before, and it sounded, I didn't even know if it was a man or a woman.
How about a guess, Umday Itchay?
Okay.
I mean, really. I mean, really, how much of an Umday Itchay can you be to call a radio show to guess who a celebrity is, and then you don't even have a guess?
I'll give you a guess. Can you give me a hint as a male or female?
No!
Okay,
Oh, listen, F you. I'm serious. Thousands of people with guesses couldn't get through. This
amazing.
Guy did.
Just F you.
I mean, really, just, you know, not any thought put into it.
I'm serious about that.
Christ, what an idiot that guy was.
Jesus H. Christ.
You know, that's why we say every guest is a clue for you.
Right.
I mean, you call in, you know what the contest is.
It's a celebrity. Can you think of one?
You know, I don't know the thought process. You call the number. You know what the contest is.
That is very disturbing, Jack.
He doesn't even have a guess.
I can't believe it.
All right, well, let me give someone else a guess.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
That's another cell phone gone bad.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I'm calling 100?
Yeah, kind of. Well, what's your name?
Brian Murphy.
Brian, where are you from?
Greenville, South Carolina.
Brian, you get the soprano stuff. Who do you think it is? Let's just cut right to the chase. Who is it?
Is it Zsa Zsa Gabor?
No, it's not.
Zsa Zsa Gabor.
Weird stuff. But thank you. Thank you for the guess, though. Hold the line, please.
Yes, sir.
Just thought we at least had somebody guess since the other guy didn't know.
That whole thing blew up. That whole thing went gaboom.
It sure did.
So how about that fart, huh?
Oh, man, pretty incredible.
At
the fart.
I still don't know who it could possibly be.
I bet you don't know who it is.
It's amazing. I mean,
I bet you don't know.
I'd say, is it you?
Would you like to bet?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's you.
No.
Wow.
Want to bet again?
It's Rob.
No. Want to bet again?
Charlie.
No.
Mr. Burbank. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Mr. Burbank!
Yeah. Right.
Fantastic!
The whole reason I got into journalism.
That is fantastic.
It is. You know, and I know it's hard for you.
Yeah, it is.
I think it's fantastic.
It is.
It's fantastic.
There it is. Isn't that something? That's a real surprise.
That's a surprise and a home run.
And CD quality sound. That is. That is Jack Kent Burbank right there.
Oh, good job.
Here he is, Father Time. Thank you, Buzz. Buzz is the only one who completed the homework assignment.
Bravo, Buzz.
I came to play.
Thank you, Buzz.
Good job.
Appreciate that. I'd like to thank that this was brought on due to the tension of your credit card number being out on the internet.
I think that had something to do with it.
Man.
fantastic. Man, not since Ken and Grace have we had such a party.
Thank you.
All right, we have Rudy Martsky from USA Today on the line now. Hey, Rudy, were you able to hear any of this down the phone?
I could not, Don. Charlie told me all the lines were busy.
All right, well, then let me ask you. I'm going to... Rudy?
Yes.
To give you a chance to play Who Farted.
Well, sure. I like to play that game.
Here are your choices. It's Don, Mike, Rob A., Buzz, or Charlie Broyhill. Who is this farting? Here you go, Rudy. Who is that?
Wait, Don, Mike, Buzz, or Charlie Broyhill?
Or Rob Bay?
Well, Rob Bay would be my quick answer.
But is that your final answer?
That's my final answer.
No.
You're wrong, Rudy.
Want to guess again?
Okay, Don.
Thank you, but no.
Oh. Do I get a third choice?
Sure. It's either Mike.
Okay.
Or Robbie.
Well, that's kind of a loud one. I'd have
or Buzz.
I'd have to go with the remaining guy who would be the loudest, Mike.
No. Rudy, I know you're playing the percentages, but you're wrong.
That is either Robbie or Buzz.
Well, wait a second. Didn't I say Robbie first?
Oh, no. Then it's either Charlie Broyhill or Buzz. I got my list wrong.
I'll take Buzz.
Yay!
Okay, bye.
That is, in fact, Buzz. Monday, we're all farting. We're going to have a brand new episode of Who Farted.
It's going to be terrific. We'll bring them all down for you.
So, listen, we've been waiting on Howard Long, but I hear that he's in some dumb coaches meeting.
Yeah, but apparently they're now on the phone trying to reach the Rams to get Howie. We thought he'd be on the bus by now, the Madden bus.
Right.
But now they're trying to reach Howie in the meeting to come out. They're using the Rams PR guy to get him.
All right, well, listen, while we're waiting for Howard Long, let me ask you a couple of questions.
Sure.
First, I want to know, the party next Thursday night.
Yeah, tell us all about it.
We've been promoting this. We are going to be broadcasting tape delay from your party Thursday night. We're going to take the bus from the hotel to your house.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to tape the whole way, the whole thing. Who's going to be at your house next Thursday night to be on our Super Bowl show?
Okay, here it is. Now, many of these are confirmed. Some are still in the tentative stage, but as the last I had, I wrote them down here.
Okay.
Howie Long.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Leslie Visser, ABC.
She's hot.
Who's really asked to, you know, meet up with you guys. Okay, and she won't have Dick Stockton there.
Oh. Yay. She'll be Dickless.
Yes, she will.
Party down.
You know, and I'll say this to you. Her message seemed to be quite excited that she was not going to be with Dick. Okay?
So she'll need a Dick.
Yes, she will.
That's
but
good.
She seems to have one with her because she asked for permission to bring her driver, who is some young ex-quarterback. And I thought, maybe you guys could ask for more about it.
That's fantastic. So, but you know, not to say that you like Dick, right, Rudy?
I've been known to. I think I've been caught in that one.
You've answered that question. All right, so there's Howie Long, Leslie Visser, who else?
Okay, Al Michaels.
Oh, he's good.
John Madden.
Now listen, let me ask you about Madden. You told me that he's bringing his bus, right?
Well, now, here, I talked to John since. Explained that our house is kind of down a hill in kind of a narrow street. Thought it would be a little shaky for the bus, and he said, well, he'll just come out in the car.
All right, but Madden will be this. We'll have Madden.
Madden says he's coming.
Good.
Okay, Chris Berman.
Oh, well, you're having all the people there.
I'm telling you. Here we go. Randy Crowe. Now, Chris Berman has to, this is how big the party is, he has to arrange his schedule to hopefully not be on the 11 o'clock sports center that night.
Okay.
He still has to work on that. Randy Cross.
Yeah. Okay.
But you know what? Randy still likes you guys if you don't like him.
Okay.
Okay. Craig James of CBS.
Oh, we've never had him on. He'd be interesting to talk to.
Craig is staying at Randy's house, which is about 8 or 9 minutes from where I live. Okay.
Really? Are those guys close friends?
Well, they're bringing their, no, they have their wives along too.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha.
And Jerry Glanville.
Oh, Coach Glanville. Well, listen, that is a lineup.
Great.
When you put that lineup together, along with Rudy and the Mouse.
Absolutely.
All of Rudy's friends.
Sal.
And the fact that we're going to be riding a bus.
Right.
From the hotel to Rudy's house.
Is Lenny coming?
There's more, guys.
Oh, really?
Okay, now here's what. Jerry Glanville. Now, these are just there'll probably be more ESPN people. We just don't know which other announcers will show.
but we'll know during the week. But Jerry Glanville lives about, he's about, 15 minutes away, so he's coming over. Now, Bob Tisch, the New York Giants owner.
Oh, well, you'd like meeting him.
About that guy.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Mike would probably like meeting him off the radio.
That'd be fun. That'd be very exciting.
Okay.
We have lots to talk about.
Here's what. Lee Steinberg.
Oh, the super agent.
The super agent. He just called today.
Oh, Jerry Maguire, right.
Yes, he just called today, and he says, can I bring some of my players? He said, Lee, let me put it to the board meeting here. Don and Mike, who will be taping a show.
Oh, man.
And so I don't know which guys that means. I don't want to promise, but he does represent Troy Aikman, Steve Young, guys like Kerry Collins. So we'll see what...
That's going to be a great show.
How about this? He's got Edgerrin James.
Edgerrin James, right.
Edgerrin James.
That's going to be a great show. That's
incredible. And he won't be able to bring his quarterback, right, unless the guy loses in his game. He doesn't want him to lose. He's got Mark Brunell of Jacksonville, but because he hopes he's in the Super Bowl.
He could have the big famous meeting.
Yeah. Then we've got a couple of...
We've got some issues with Brunell.
About
fantasy football.
Yeah, that's right. You could have him in that.
All right, and who else?
Well, we got a couple of network presidents. Sean McManus of CBS and David Hitler Fox.
Oh, well, listen, Rudy, that is quite the guest list.
Boy, what a party. Rudy, is this your biggest shindig ever?
This is it. Yes, it is. And in fact, some of these guys have bumped you guys into B-list.
Yeah. So all of these people are people that we will intrude on their privacy
right
at the Super Bowl party and broadcast the show for you. You'll hear it a week from today from Atlanta, from Rudy's house. Now, listen, I did have a bit of business I wanted to ask you about.
Sure.
We read your column this week in USA Today.
Yeah.
In which you just cut Pat Summerall to little itty-bitty pieces. What has been the fallout from that article?
Some of the Fox people aren't happy with some of the facets of it. They thought maybe some things shouldn't have been included in there, but... Yeah, nobody's arguing with the gist of it, and a lot of people called me and said they thought it was very fair that, sure, I criticized Summerall, but which he deserved to be. Notice Pat doesn't see me on this list here, okay?
Right, but now, how do you stay friends with Madden? Isn't Madden really loyal to Summerall?
He is, but, John's also a pretty feet-on-the-ground guy, and I think can separate the situation here from... it's not pleasant for John either. Let's just say that.
Do you get any feedback from him on that when you write a column like that?
I talked to him that day, and John wanted to stay out of it. He did not want to make a comment or a quote for the column.
I thought that what you wrote was absolutely right on, and especially the part where you wrote that Madden politely has to spend a lot of time politely correcting his longtime friend Pat Summerall, which he really does. Madden covers Summerall's ass quite a bit on that show.
Let me ask you, Rudy, is Summerall the kind of guy that, I might answer the question by just the fact that he's still on the air, but I mean, is he the type of guy that you think can read the writing on the wall and make a decision, say, maybe it is time? Or do you think he's the kind of guy that would get his dander up reading something like that and say, screw them, they don't know what they're talking about? What do you think?
Mike, going into the column, I was told that Pat was against retiring or putting a date on there when he'd retire. Remember, he's going to be 70 in May.
Mm-hmm.
But I did talk to him the next day, and he's very adamant about that. Of course, he disagrees with a lot of stuff that I wrote, and questions why I or anybody should be calling for his retirement.
So tell me, what was that? Did he call you?
I had called him the first day, but he hadn't returned my call to the next day.
So when he called you back, he goes, hey, Rudy, it's Pat Summerall. I mean, Jesus Christ, what tension? What was that conversation like?
Well, it wasn't real pleasant. But I'll say this to you, Pat was very professional about it. He just chose to disagree with me and basically claim or contend that he doesn't seem to be ready to retire or quit.
You know what you should do this weekend for the Rams Tampa Bay game? You should count the number of times he says, beg your pardon.
Beg your pardon. Beg your pardon.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes. Okay. We do that, but I did not put that in this last time. But I'm counting on him to have a better game.
Yeah, I think so. The pressure's on.
Mm-hmm. All right, Rupert.
Okay.
All right. And do you have a nugget for us? Something we would not have known if we were not talking to you, the guru of TV sports.
Well, how about this?
How about this?
Okay. Deion Sanders. There's two of them here. Deion Sanders, look for the Cowboys not to renew his current contract, which calls for more than $12 million next year. And that would put Deion more or less on the open market. And he could wind up back with the Atlanta Falcons where he started, or in Denver, which probably still thinks there's about one player or two away from returning to the Super Bowl.
All right, what's your
idea? Here's the other one, Dan Marino. Word we got today is that he's actually putting an elevator into his house because his knees are so bad he's having trouble, you know, walking up the stairs.
Wow.
And this is what all goes into, like, you know, why is this guy still claiming he thinks he might want to come back? I think he's going to retire.
All right, thank you, Rupert. Great knowledge this week. We look forward to seeing you next week at your house.
Okay, guys. See you,
Rupert. All right, bye-bye.
There he is.
Fantastic.
Rudy Martsky.
Remember, he's a workaholic.
Right.
It's USA Today's Rudy Martsky.
Thank you, Rupert. Sounds like he'll have quite the lineup going at his house next week.
Sounds like that's the A party for the week at the Super Bowl.
Right.
I hope all those people aren't pissed that we're there with microphones.
Yes, seriously, yeah. Now, are we going to, like, camp out somewhere and let them come to us, or are we just going to attack?
You know how we do it, Mike.
Yeah, I know.
We'll just see how it is when we get there.
Yeah, we'll read the room, and, I think, as the party progresses, people will be more willing to do
it. I imagine we will probably get a private session with, like, Madden and Al Michaels, the big guys.
I think we'll probably set up a shop in the Badgers, Wisconsin Badgers bathroom.
You know, the rest of them, we'll just see what happens.
And, of course, there's nothing wrong with taking a microphone over and pressing it up against the bathroom door.
Yeah, when Madden's in there.
Yeah.
You might hear something like that.
Thank you, Buzz.
Thank you. A quick timeout. If those Fox guys call, we'll break in. Otherwise, we have a brand-new low-budget Jeopardy for you coming right up.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Get ready, Baltimore, for the first Las Vegas-style show of the new millennium. Wednesday, February 2nd, the entire Don and Mike Show family returns to Bohager, 701 South Eden Street, right in Charm City. The show starts at 9. Don't miss the fun, hunt. It's entirely new for 2000. Be cool for your viewing pleasure. Still as raunchy as ever. Come check out the new Bodome. Call Bohager's at 410-563-7220 for information and directions. Do not miss it.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
You know, people are always coming up to me on the street and saying, Don, how can you make money showing those repeats? Well, the answer is simple. Volume, volume, volume.
Huzzah! The Don and Mike Show.
Huzzah! Huzzah!
Right now, we got a special satellite going up to Connecticut.
Let's see. Give me a moment.
At 7 p.m. Denver. So let's go.
I got it.
It's tricky.
I got it. I got the satellite. Let's go.
Now, I'm not going to fool you folks and make you think that he's actually entering the room now.
Right.
We're going to play the sound effect of the door opening. All I'm going to do is turn on the satellite and... We should have...
Oh, my.
Wow. From his home in suburban Connecticut.
Hi. Hello.
Hooked up.
Hello.
To all of his various medical machines. Everybody is...
This thing on?
It's late night.
Yeah.
David Letterman.
Yeah. How are you? Nice to see you. Hello?
Dave?
Don? Is Don on the phone?
Dave?
Hi, how are you? Nice to see you.
Yeah. Dave, how you feeling?
Are you, I'm doing great. I'm doing fine. You know, I had the quintuple bypass surgery. Yeah. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, let me turn down. I've got your music playing here.
I'm in my hospital bed, you see. Yeah, I just got out of the hospital. I was out there, you know, and I love the candy stripers. Yeah. Are you there?
You know what? Let me turn the music off. What's that other stuff I'm hearing?
Oh, man. That's my monitor. I'm on a hospital monitor, Don. Yeah, and it's right next to the rotating display of pies.
How you doing? Nice to see you.
Buzz there?
Hey, Dave.
Hi, Buzz.
Hey, get well, Dave.
Yeah, how are you, Buzz?
I'm great.
How are things in the 1800s, huh?
Things are great as always.
How old a guy are you?
About 247.
Yeah, fantastic. Good.